be the best of who you are, and and do to others what you want others to do to you.
Well, welcome, Livette and Amari.
Thank you. We're so
excited to have you.
Having us.
Yeah.
It's an honor. I like being in this space because it seems this is where you interview people for your podcast.
Yeah.
So we're kind of switching the roles here.
I was thinking, like, this must be how my guests feel.
How does it feel?
Maybe, like, slightly intimidating at first, but exciting.
Yay. That's awesome. We listened to the music that y'all sent. It was really awesome. You said when you sent over the Jimi Hendrix song, you were trying to be more loose with your music,
mm-hmm.
Amari. I wonder, could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, lately I've been listening to a lot of Jimi Hendrix just because a couple of months ago I was like, I'm going to listen to all of the bands that everyone hypes like a lot, right? Like the Beach Boys. And I'm going to listen to the best albums from the Beach Boys according to Spotify. And then I listened to that, and now I'm on the Jimi Hendrix hype train, I guess. And he's pretty good. And I love that. So many producers talk about like how they record bands and they like to record them at the same time, like instead of recording one instrument at a time, because according to them, they're like, it sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like a band playing together when you record them together, right? Like, but I just never believed that. Like, it's just like, I mean, you could make it sound like that if you record every instrument one by one. But, I mean, to be fair, there's something about Jimi Hendrix that it does sound like a band playing in the room together at the same time. And part of that, I think, is just kind of being loose. I doubt they were playing with the metronome because it kind of sounds a little all over the place. I could be wrong, but it has the feel. And I'm a fan of the feel of his music. And part of that, I think it's being loose and like kind of just like being able to feel it real good. So that's what I'm trying to do.
How have you applied it to your music so far?
I feel like, well, it's two aspects. One of them is recording long takes for my own music, like, mm-hmm. instead of just like, all right, now I'm gonna record the chorus, now I'm gonna record the verse, because I record everything myself, so but I want to feel more loose, so I gotta record the whole thing so that there's a one take of like playing the actual song the whole length. And then the other aspect is like sometimes I jam with my friends, a couple of friends, and a couple of days ago we made a whole EP on one night, just like coming up with random shit and recording it. So we were able to make four songs. They're like very simple, but like we recorded it at the same time one night, and that felt really good.
Were they also listening to a little bit of Jimi Hendrix?
I think they already went through the hype train.
Okay.
So they understand it already.
Like a middle school kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I should have been on that in middle school.
I've never been much of a Jimi Hendrix fan, but the song that you shared, I was like, I felt like it was a really good example of all the things he does well.
Yeah.
Like the loose playing and like what you're saying. Like a lot of his songs, I've always thought kind of sounded similar to one another.
Yeah, totally.
But this one in particular, I was like, okay, this is like better than some of the other ones, especially because they have those like drum fills. And he's like one of the sickest drummers.
Yeah, he's sick. He is sick.
I also really liked the Ultimo Contrabando.
Oh, yeah.
That one is really cool. And it sparked a little bit of research because I've always wondered why some Mexican music sounds like polka.
Yeah.
And so I like looked into it and it's like because it was influenced by polka.
Yeah, it is actual polka. Yeah. Yeah.
I never knew that. And I'd always like, it's just something I'd always been like, oh, this reminds me of polka. That's so weird. And that never thought to actually look into. So
yeah, I know for sure. I mean, it is polka because I think I looked it up once and then forgot about it. But really interesting because it's just like so similar. And then like it goes way back. And it's
1800s, I think.
Yeah. That artist is actually from my hometown.
Oh, really?
Which I was like really starstruck about. But he's not an actual legend. Like when I grew up, there wasn't people talking about him. Like let's say about New York, John Lennon or something, you know? So did you look at his album cover?
I watched the video. I looked at the album cover because I put it on Spotify, but I don't remember what it looks like.
Well, the guy looks like he just looks so tough.
Yeah, well, in the video, there's like it's just showing like the image, and then suddenly it's like him with two guns pointed. And I was like, whoa, it's cool.
I don't know. I'm just a fan of his aura.
Yeah,
essentially.
It's a very good aura. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the aspect of like music from somewhere else, like influencing music of a different place, right? And I got the same vibe from like the doo-doo-doos, because they're like the Shimo Kitazawa. It's like Shimokai, like similar to Shibuya Kai, and like that's like really influenced by like Brazilian music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then I guess the Shimo Kitazawa bands were more like influenced by like garage rock and like I guess British stuff. And it's cool that you hear it, you know.
We saw them live this summer when we went to Japan, and it was actually at Shino Kitazawa.
Nice.
But like, yeah, shout out YouTube recommendations, because yeah, they're amazing. Really, really, really good band live.
Yeah, you should tell them how they crowd surf.
Yeah, it was
so many times.
It was crazy. One of the members crowd surfed with his guitar. One of them was like crowd surfing standing.
What?
Yeah, how do you do that on the crowd?
She was like standing, like they were helping her.
That's crazy. Well, she's walking on water.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, amazing band.
Yeah, I love their stage aura. They're just like rocking out, and the two guitarists are just like straight up just rocking out the whole time.
Yeah, you can tell that they're having a lot of fun. While I was watching them, I texted my one of the bands I'm in called Josephine's Dream, and I texted them and I was like, we definitely need to implement more drums and more like heavy guitar, because they just look like they were having so much fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of stage aura, I feel like the bands that you're in like together and also Josephine's Dream definitely have very distinct, at least from like the last show that happened. I mean, it was like full on like, that wasn't just watching a band play. Like, there was so much more going on there. And I'm really just saying that to say I really appreciated that. I loved the skit that y'all did. Because I remember Kiana was telling us, like, oh, I'm like, I'm going to help out with the skit. And I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be, like, a quick 30-second thing. And then it's going to be done. And I was, like, sitting in the very back, too. And then I was like, wait, what are they saying up there? And it was so cool. And it was so funny to, like, hear the crowd, like, react. Yeah, it was really fun. And then also, like, the Dance Dance Revolution that you did. It was, like, I couldn't stop smiling. Like, my mouth hurt from smiling so much. For context, what was like the technology behind that? Like Mason, like he like rewired.
Yeah. So he rewired the DDR mat. So anytime I clicked on like the up button or the down button, it was a different tune. So I kind of had to learn a dance for this one song that we had. It was crazy. Mason's amazing. Shout out Mason.
Yeah, it was so amazing. I was so happy I shoved my way to front row for that. So I was like, I have to see this. Is that like part of what made y'all decide? Like, have you always done that when you perform? Like, try to do more than just play a song and then play the next song? Or is that something kind of newer?
I think like Amari implementing an act at the beginning was the first time he's ever done that live.
Okay.
Maybe you can say more why.
Yeah, I just started. Well, I was in a play. Sort of. I was like an extra in a play, and it was like three nights of the show, and being immersed in theater was really awesome. It was just like such a new art form, that I felt really inspired by. And then when I decided to that I wanted to play a show under this new band, I was like, this got to be a celebration. Like, I feel like I was overlooking certain aspects of playing a show by just playing the songs. And then I wanted to interact with, like, every aspect of it, like, from the way we dressed and incorporating some, like, kind of theater and then the music on top of it. And I feel like it just felt way more rewarding that way. But also, just in streams, like, Mason just builds stuff. You can tell him about all the instruments.
Yeah. All of the instruments that Mason plays with, he's built. I don't really know the technicalities of, like, what it would be called. Like, for example, he could grab, like, a box or a bowl, and then he'll, like, add some electrical wires into it, and that's, like, now his new instrument. Yeah. He's also an NYU professor, and he teaches his students MEEP. That's, like, his language. Yeah, which is basically, like, how to play his instrument. He is also the one who does, like, 4 a.m. sunrise ambient shows.
And so then incorporates those instruments into the music.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So, for example, like with the DDR mat or with his own instruments, like he made his own synth in a way out of like wood. Yeah.
And that, so like it's a slab of wood and then the DDR mat's on top of it and it like triggers that way?
No. So like these are like two different instruments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a box with like keys that he plays like piano keys. Mm-hmm. And the DDR mat was just connected to like a MIDI controller. And that's how you could control the sounds being, when you press a certain arrow.
I really wish I had seen this.
Yeah. There's videos cool. of it.
There's videos. Of
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not take a video cause I was like, I'm living in the moment. I was like, I wanted to pull my phone out, but I saw enough people recording and I was like, they'll send me the video. So we'll send those along.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching, not to switch gears, but also to switch gears a little. I was watching one of your podcasts, Levette, and I saw that you love breakcore.
Oh, yeah.
Which made me so happy because I also love breakcore and I feel like none of my other friends do. And I was just wondering like if that influences your music and all that anyway. I know you were saying that it just like really helps like improve your mood like on your way to work and stuff like that. And I actually feel the same way. I feel like there was a time in my life where like if I was leaving the house listening to anything that was like even remotely fast paced or kind of more hardcore, I would be like, I'm gonna have a panic attack. Like it's so overstimulating. And now it like, not to be so annoying, but it kind of calms me down. Yeah, so I was just wondering if you like wanted like if it has influenced you at all or anything.
Yeah, I definitely started getting into breakcore like late last year, specifically this one artist called Eva Boy. They are like a Filipino DJ based in LA, and it's nice because they kind of also add budots, which is a type of Filipino genre. How would you describe budots? It's like
EDM, because you know how I guess reggaeton goes, budots goes kind of like, I don't know. It's like this very distinct sound. I can't really recreate it, but yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, Eva Boy just puts me in a really good mood, no matter like what it is I'm doing. I feel like pumped. But does it influence like my music? I don't write songs, but
but you perform them.
What do you mean?
Yeah, like you play them.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever want to write music or anything?
So I am currently in an EP race.
Oh wait, okay.
You should say what that is.
Yeah, so race. Our friend Jack Thompson, every year he does an EP race, which is where like you like last year, for example, it like whoever made the most EPs won a monetary prize.
Yeah.
This year we're just focusing on quality. So I guess does it matter like the amount of EPs?
No, and there's no prize.
Okay.
But there's a winner though.
Yeah.
But an EP has to be 4 songs, like not just like whatever kind of recorded, whatever. It has to be like an actual effort to make a song. And that's 1 EP. So whoever writes the most EPs wins. And
yeah. And so I'm writing a song. I wrote a song actually 2 days ago. It was my first song ever.
Awesome. Awesome.
And honestly, like the idea of writing a song always felt so intimidating, and literally like applaud to anyone who's ever made a song. Cause like every time I think about it, I'm like, it feels like all of the tunes in the world like have already been made, but I don't know. I was just feeling really inspired that night. So I was like, can you help me? So Amari just like helped me by like he would like play a chord and I'd be like, okay, I like that. Or like, I don't like that. But it was really fun, and I wanted to continue, but then we had to stop.
Yeah, that was your first song.
Yeah.
Did you write lyrics for it?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm only saying, like, this one thing repetitively on and on.
Nice. Yeah, that counts as lyrics.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So are you hoping to do more of it now? Like now that it felt kind of good? Okay, nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Will you be performing the new song, the songs from this EP?
If my band likes them, maybe.
What does the name Josephine's Dream come from?
So Mason has a cat named Josephine.
Oh, that's right. I've asked you this. And right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
But actually, we're thinking about changing it.
Why?
I don't know. Really? Dylan doesn't feel very close to the song. I mean, to the band name. So, Yeah, I don't know.
Changing a band name is like a tough process.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was in a band one time and we tried to change the band name and it just ended the band.
No.
We were like, I don't know. We all couldn't agree on it. And so we're just like, all right, this is done.
I guess that's the end of that. Wow.
But in retrospect, I'm like, I could have been fine with any name. It doesn't matter. You're still playing music with your friends, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just having fun.
Mm-hmm. What was the kind of band?
It was like Beatles worship, pub rock, nice. I guess. I don't know, stuff like that. We were all into the like Beach Boys, Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Were they all originals?
Yeah, all originals.
What did you play?
I played bass and did some vocals as well.
Oh, nice.
It was really cool because we did like live band recording in the studio, like you were mentioning earlier.
Oh, nice.
And so I was kind of like, yeah, I get it. When you do like a full band and you just do like the instrumental tracks, you kind of like, it's easier to be on time with each other because, you know, you're in the same room and you're vibing off you know, everyone's feel. And it was a lot of fun. It actually may be the most important part of that kind of recording process is how much fun it is to just like be in there and playing. You know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I feel like it'll come off. You'll hear it if the band is like having a blast. And
mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I grew up playing drums, but I am recently more in love with the bass than anything. There's something about like being able to dictate the lower frequency of everything. It's so like, damn, I got like, I'm kind of like just guiding this whole ship kind of thing.
Yeah, it's underrated for sure in that regard.
Underrated. So underrated.
I also really love like the counter melody of it all. I'm like a huge Paul McCartney fan. So nice. It's like a band that has a really good bassist is so important because like the melody is going on, but then when you listen to the bass line, it's like doing its own thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, at least when I try to write bass lines, I'm always like, I want people to pay attention to that. You know,
like,
I want it to be unignorable.
Yes.
In a way.
Do you like Interpol?
I don't really listen to Interpol actually. But I know they have a strong bassist.
Yeah. Fuck. The best. In my opinion, the best bassist.
Best bassist ever.
Yeah. There's just so much feel into it. And it's like a post-punk revival kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could just play the root note or just like drive the bass. But he had so much feel and it was like amazing. It gets the music like 10 times. It levels up the music 10 times. Yeah.
I think my favorite is probably Paul McCartney. I know that's like...
But he's great. He's awesome.
Yeah. He's...
I love Paul McCartney.
I could tell. I see that. Yeah. He's looming over us right now.
Yeah. He's touring again.
Yeah. He played at like...
Bowery?
He did like 5 nights at Bowery.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was out of town, so I missed it. But, you know.
We missed it too.
Yeah, I was so devastated. I ended up standing outside.
Really?
During like one of the shows that he had before he like started, and I saw him come out of his car, and I was so happy.
You saw him in person?
And then I went home. Yeah.
Whoa. So you're like a big Paul McCartney fan.
Yeah, I grew up with my dad constantly playing like the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Elton John. So yeah, Paul is my favorite.
Yes, sir.